We continue our learning with the Nishmas Davi b'Manach Moshe b'Cham Yaakov b'Pidchas Eliyahu b'Choras Perek Beis Mishnah Hey Rachel Sheyolda Kemin Eis. See, you have the firstborn of a sheep, and it gives birth to something that doesn't look like a sheep. It looks like a goat. Or Ve'eis Sheyolda Kemin Rachel. Oh, you have a goat, gives birth to a firstborn, and it looks firstborn male, and it looks like a sheep, even though the mother is a goat. The halacha is that you put from a chora on that animal, which is what we call a nidmeh. Nidmeh means it resembles another type of species. Now, why should it be put from a chora? After all, whether it's a goat or it's a sheep, there's a chiv of a chora. So why should it matter that it looks like a different animal? So that's based on the pasuk that says, ach, in Bamidbar Yudches, ach b'chor shor, o b'chor kesev, o b'chor eis. When it speaks about giving b'chor, it mentions the word b'chor three times. The pasuk could easily say b'chor shor kesev o eis. But why does it mention the word b'chor before each one? B'chor shor, b'chor kesev, b'chor eis. To teach us that only the offspring that resembles the species of the mother has the halachos of b'chor. And that's why, in this case of nidmeh, you are pater from b'chora. Vimyesh bo miksas simanim. Let's say though there are certain signs. Now it may look like a goat a little bit, even though the mother is a sheep. But there are certain signs that it has that, in fact, I would recognize that it's a member of the same species as the mother. Then says Mishnah, then chayiv. Then it is chayiv in bechora. What does that mean, chayiv in bechora? So the Gemara explains that it's not that you can bring this as a karban. We don't consider this a bechor tam, that it could be brought as a karban on the Mizbeach, and that's because we assume, and the Rambam says, ein lecha mum gadol mishina b'riyasa. There's no greater blemish than something that doesn't look like its mother. So although it may resemble the mother a little bit, but it certainly also resembles another species in this case. So yes, it has miksas simanim like the mother. And yes, there is the chiyuv b'chora, but chiyuv b'chora means that it's the mamon of the kohen. You give it to the kohen, but the kohen cannot place this on the mizbeach. He shechs it and eats it himself. This is no different than a b'chor baal mum, a mum kavua, a permanent blemish, because there's no greater blemish than it not looking like its mother. Perek Beis Mishnah Vav. Rachel shelo bikra v'yoldo shnei zecharim. Here you have a sheep that has yet to give birth. It's pregnant and gives birth to two males. The Yatsu Shnei Rashem Kechad. It's not like one was gave birth or they had twins. So the older one would be the Bechor. That would be very simple. But here, both of the heads seem to emerge at the same time. So what's the halacha in such a case? Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Omer Shneihem LaKohen. You give both of these animals to the Kohanim. To the Kohen. Why? Shneamar has zecharim laHashem. He's quoting from the pasuk again of Parshas Bo that says v'chol peter sheger behema asher yelocha has zecharim laHashem. Zecharim is plural. What do you see? That there are possibilities. The Torah understood that there are cases where there may be two bechorim, where you give birth to twins and they emerge at the same time. And that's Rabbi Yossi HaGlili's general position that efshar letzamsem. It's possible to be precise. It's possible that there was a simultaneous a birth of both of the animals. Therefore, both have the status of bechorim, hazechorim, plural, it's possible, and both are given to the Kohen. V'chachamim omrim e'efshar. The chachamim says, that's not possible. Says the Bar Tanur, e'efshar what? E'efshar letzamtzem. You can't be precise and determine sheyatzu shnei rasheim ke'echa. It's impossible. Elo ha'echad yatzu tchila. We assume that one really came out first. V'lo yadin heminai. We just don't know which one emerged first. Therefore, we don't know which to give to the Kohen. So since e'efshar letzamtzem, on the one end, you can't keep both because one of them is clearly the Bechor. Question is, which one do you give to the Kohen? Ela echad of echad la Kohen. You have to keep, one you can keep, one you give to the Kohen. Which one goes to the Kohen? Which one do you keep? That's a debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva that follows. Rabbi Tarfon omer ha-Kohen bore lo asayofer. The Kohen gets to choose the nicer one. Why does Kohen get to choose the nicer one? Shouldn't we employ the principle of Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Arayif? The Kohen wants to take the animal from you. He should have to prove that the healthier one, the bigger one, the fatter one, is really the Bechor, which he cannot prove. So says Rabbi Tavna, why is the Kohen getting the Bor of the Yafa, the nicer one? Says the Bar Tanura, Dimistama HaYafa VaHabari Nafak Bereish. We assume that the nicer one, the healthier one, the fatter one, pushed its way out, because it's healthier, it's stronger, To be born first, and therefore we can assume that that indeed is the Bechor. That's why the likelihood that that's the Bechor, the Kohen can take that one. And the weaker one is kept by the owner. Rabbi Akiva Omer, not true. Mishnamnim Beinehem, which means that the fatter one is the topic of debate between the two, which basically means that we don't know. Which one came out first. We can't assume that it was the healthier one, the stronger one necessarily. And since that's a debate, obviously the Kohen would like the fatter one and the owner would like the fatter one. What do we do? So the Bar Tanura says, in such a case, Shai Yisrael no tel hashuman u'maniach hakochosh l'Kohen. The fatter one, the Yisrael gets to keep, and the weaker one, he gives to the Kohen, Shamotzi mechaver olavaraya, because the burden of proof is upon the Kohen to prove that, in fact, the fatter one was the one that emerged first, since he cannot prove that. Therefore, the owner gets to keep the fatter one. Vahasheni, what do we do with the other one? Which means the ones that the Yisrael... The one that the Israel has, so he gets, what do we say? He gets to keep the fatter one. The problem is that now, you gave one to the Kohen, but now the one that you keep, it's possible that in fact is the Bechor. So what do we do? So the Mishnah says, "V'hasheni yirat shi'istayv." You have to allow it to graze until it has a blemish, because according to Rabbi Tarfon, we were making the assumption that the fatter one was the bechor, and that's why the Kohen gets that, and that's fine. And obviously, the one that Yisrael keeps is not the bechor, and therefore he could do whatever he likes with it. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that we're just employing the principle of hamos mechavel avaray, and we're really not sure which one is the bechor. So therefore, although the fatter one is able to be kept by the owner, not by Yisrael, nonetheless, there's a possibility that's still a Bechor, and therefore, Hasheni Yirat Sheyistav, you have to let it graze until it gets a mum. Says the Bar Tanura, Hasheni Shenishal Yisrael Yirat Acheyipol Bomum. Let it graze till it has a mum. V'achar kach yochal, then he's able to eat it. The Suffolk Bechoru, it's still a Suffolk Bechor. Hilkach Eno Nishchat Tamim. Therefore, you can't shecht it when it doesn't have a mum, when it's still not unblemished, because maybe it has sanctity. What about the one that was given to the Kohen? We gave the Kohen the weaker one, not the fatter one. What does he do with that one? That's self-evident that he can't shecht it into Nazar. Come on, we're talking about Bizmanazah. You can't bring it as a carbon. So of course, where the possibility is that which belongs to the Kohen may have to be brought as a carbon there, of course you have to wait till there's a mum before the Kohen is able to shecht it. But the chiddush here is that even that of the Yisrael, since it's a suffik bechor, he also has to wait till there's a mum, and only then can he shecht it and eat it. The chayav b'matanos, it's possible that this is not a bechor, so therefore the Yisrael is chayav to give matanos to the Kohen from this animal that he kept. Now, why won't we say in such a case hamotzi mechaver alav alaraya? So the answer is, because however you look at it, the Kohen should at least get the matanos. Because if this is a Bechor, then the Kohen should have gotten the whole animal. The fact that we employ Hamas Bilchav L'Araya, we don't give them the whole animal, okay. So the Yisrael gets to keep that animal, that fat animal. But nonetheless, at the very least, if it's not a Bechor, he owes the Kohen matanos. So either the Kohen gets the whole thing, or he gets matanos. So at the very least, he's chayv matanos. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're not chayv, the Yisrael's not chayv to give matanos to the Zeroa, l'chayayim, and the Keva from this animal. Why is that so? So we'll learn in Mishnah Ches, Rabbi Yossi's logic. Rabbi Yossi believes, and we'll see the language in the next in the Mishnah, in Mishnah Ches, kol shechalifav biyad kohen pater min matanos. Whatever has its substitute in the hands of the Kohen is exempt from the laws of matanos, which means that since in our case, what do we say? The Kohen has a potential claim of both of the animals. In what way? Well, one of them is definitely a bechor. So when he takes one and says, okay, I'm going to take the, we end up saying he has to take the weaker one. He takes the weaker one. So by taking the weaker one, he basically now gives up his right to the other one. It's as if he received the bechor, even though it may not be the bechor. We view it as if he received the bechor, and then we assume that he sold that bechor to the Israel in exchange for the second animal. So that's the it's a, it, that that's what Chalif of Biat Kohen Patur Ben Matanos means. Once again, we view that, well, we'll see this in Mishnah Ches, that we view as if the Kohen received the bechor, and then he sold it. You know, Yisrael is allowed to eat a bechor. He sold the Yisrael, the bechor, in exchange for the other animal. So therefore, that sheep is pater from the halachos of matanos. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi believes that Yisrael is pater. Nesechon mehem. What about in the case where one of these two animals, as we said, according to the chachamim, we're focusing on the chacham that if Charlotte Samtaim, you can't be precise that both of the heads of the animal came in at the same time. When we had two, both were alive, so one game went to the Kohen, one the Israel kept, Machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, which one, the fatter one gives to the Kohen, or the fatter one you get, the owner gets to keep. But now one of them died. So Rabbi Tarfon, Omer Yachlok, Rabbi Tarfon says, no, you split, there's only one animal, the Kohen gets it, you sell it, Kohen gets half. And the Yisrael gets half. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, Hamotzi Mechava Levaraya, which means the Yisrael gets to keep it. The Kohen would have to, is the burden of proof is upon him to prove that the animal that died is in fact the non-Bechor, and that the Bechor is the one that's alive, and therefore he deserves it. He can't prove that, and therefore the Yisrael gets to keep the animal, because he can make the assumption that, no, the one that died was the Bechor, and therefore I don't owe you anything. One of the interesting questions is, according to Rabbi Tarfon, what he ignored. I understand Rabbi Tarfon before, where the likelihood that the fatter animal pushed its way out must be the Bechor. That I understand. But in such a case here, Yachloku, he ignores the principle Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. How could he deny that? So the Gemara explains on Daf Yud Ches that the Machlokis, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, in this case, is talking about where the animal that's alive, I mean, one of them died, the animal that survived is in the possession of the Israel, but there's another piece of information we don't know, and that is that the Kohen is the shepherd of the flock of the Israel. So where are the sheep? The sheep are in the owner on the land of the Israel. And had it been the sheep of the Israel completely, no doubt Rabbi Tarfon would agree. Hamotz Mirchav Levaraya, there are two animals here. Both are in the hands of the Israel. One of them died. Can't prove which is the Bechor. Then you don't. Then the Israel gets to keep. You don't give the Kohen anything. Why is there Yachloku? Because these animals, it's true, were in the hands and the possession of the Israel, but they're on the land, the pasturing on the land of the Israel by the shepherd who's a Kohen. So therefore, Rabbi Tarfon says that the owner wants to do a mitzvah, and he also wants the Kohen to be able to take any possession, any Bechor that happens to be born in this flock should automatically go to the Kohen. How does that happen? So you have to make what we call a Kinyan Chatzer. Kinyan Chatzer means that the animal, which is by virtue of being in the Chatzer, in the yard itself, the Kohen now can take possession of it. But that will only be true if the Kohen has some share in the land itself. So that's what the owner, the Israel, provides. He gives the Kohen a small share in the field so that the Kohen can take ownership of any Bechor that's born through the concept of Kinyan Chatzer. And because of that, that's where Rabbi Tarfon says, Yachloka, they're going to split. Had the Kohen not been given, were not grazing the flock at all and wasn't given a piece of the land, so of course he wouldn't have any chelek in the Bechor. Hamotzi Mirchav Levaraya belongs to Israel. But since he has this chelek, so therefore, the owner, the Kohen, both have a share in the land. The owner, you can't say he's the one who has full possession of it. So you can't say Moshe Melchav Araya. And therefore, they're going to split it. They both have a share. Rabbi Akiva, of course, holds that. No, the owner's not giving in the Kohen any share in the field. So because he's not going to want to split any questionable Bechor. And that's the basis of Machlokas in this Mishnah. Why Rabbi Akiva says in the case of where one of the animals died, the one of those twins that that was born, Rabbi Tafron says Yachloku and does not accept the principles Hamas Mechav L'Raya in such a case. And then the Mishnah concludes, Zachar Nekeva, let's say this animal gave birth to a Zachar Nekeva at the same time, then Ein Kana Kohen Kulam, then the Kohen doesn't get anything. Why? So says the Bar Tanur, the Shema Nekeva, Yatzar Tchila. Maybe the Nekeva was born first, Hamas Mechav L'Raya, meaning the Kohen would have to prove, maybe there's no Bechor here at all. They're both alive, none of them died, but it's possible that there was no Bechor at all, because it's possible, yes, it's possible the Zachar was born first, and that would be the Bechor, but maybe the Nekeva was born first. So therefore, and this, says the Bar Tanura, Hachafti the Rabbi Tarfon Mode. Rabbi Tarfon would admit to this. In the previous case, Halachos, he said, yeah, one of them belongs to the Kohen. Hilkoch Yafe Kocho Lachalek B'Shavah. Therefore, he has to split evenly. Or let's say in the first case he gets the larger one, the healthier one. Aval ha ha. Here his power, his strength has become inferior, has been weakened. Dishema lo shaycha b'chor klal. Maybe there's no b'chir at all. Umiu. What do we do though with the animal? Yira atche yistoev v'achacha kriyochlenu disafek. It's still a suffek, because maybe the zachor is born first, therefore there is a bechor here. Therefore, even the owner who gets to keep it, the male. You have to let it graze until it develops a mum, and only then is he able to eat it. Just to conclude, there is an interesting question the Gemara has on Daf Tes. According to the Chachamim's opinion earlier in the Mishnah, who hold Efshar L'Tzamtzem, we have to assume that the heads, although they emerged at the same time, one certainly came before the other. Therefore, one is given to the Kohen. So the Gemara brings up the concept of Chatzitza, of there being an interposition. What's the issue? So if you have two lambs that are being born, so, and they emerge approximately the same time, so the one that you're telling me is really the Bechor didn't touch all of the walls of the animal as it's leaving. Why? Because there was another animal that was coming out almost at the same time. Say the Gemara assumes that based on the Psukim in the Torah in Bamidbar and Perakhes, that what gives the Kedushas Bechor, the Kedushas Bechor is being in contact with all of the parts of the surface of the animal as it's leaving its peterechem, has to be the opening of the womb and all parts of the womb on its way out. But if there's another animal that's coming out, so there's a chatzitza, the other animal serves as an interposition between the animal that potentially is the Bechor and the Rechet. So maybe this should be no different than a C-section or something, where they wouldn't have the status of a Bechor because there is a chatzitza there. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that anything of the same material, in this case it's the other lamb, is not considered a chatzitza, and therefore the first one to come out, we're not sure which is one, but we know we give one to the Kohen, therefore one at least does go to the Kohen. There's definitely a Bechor here, because we don't assume that another lamb is considered a chatzitza, because that's no different being the walls, as it's considered like the walls of the Rechem itself.